Prime Time replay from Money FM 89.3.
Leading talent investor Entrepreneur First released the results of a global study on the perceptions towards ambition and motivations for entrepreneurship amongst Generation Z individuals, or Generation Z, depending on what part of the world you're from. They're 18 to 30 years old. So much has been said about millennials and how they're taking over the world, but perhaps some insight should be gleaned into how the next generation feels in terms of world domination when it's their turn.
Well, the survey found that one in two young Singaporeans are likely to start their own companies, more so than individuals in the United Kingdom, France and Germany, but behind their peers in Hong Kong and India in the region. Well, the survey was conducted across six markets, namely Singapore, the United Kingdom, France, Germany, Hong Kong and India. And we're joined by Alice Benning, co-founder of Entrepreneur First, to give us more insight. Well, thanks for joining us, Alice, on the phone. What are some of the results that which stood out to you?
So I think one of the most interesting results was around what we saw in Singapore, where just over 60% of the respondents agree that setting up their own company is the best way to realise their professional ambition. And actually, just over half of all the respondents, and we had more than 2,000 respondents in Singapore, said that they are likely to set up their own company during their lifetime. I think this is a really exciting shift as we see the Singaporean startup ecosystem develop and the next generation of talent coming through aspiring to be a founder of their own company.
Alice, was this different across the regions, though? So we've got a high number here in Singapore who want to set up their own companies. What about in the other markets that you looked at as well?
Yeah, so we did see some regional variation. So the country that had the highest likelihood was actually India, where almost 80% said that they were likely to set up their own company at some point during their careers. Interestingly, one of the more conservative countries was Germany, which was just under 50%, so about 46%. So we have seen a lot of variation, but I think we were particularly excited about the results in Singapore.
Mm-hmm. Well, despite the ambition to start their own thing, it seems that the Singaporean young are still ever the pragmatic Singaporeans, with many displaying an aversion to risk and fear of uncertainty. How much would that impact entrepreneurship?
So I think what we are seeing is entrepreneurship is risky, and this is a well-known thing. But I think what we're seeing now is that entrepreneurship becomes a more typical career path and a more aspirational career path. The risk of doing entrepreneurship is pretty low. So yes, there is the risk of potentially failing. But what we're seeing now is more and more employers are keen to hire entrepreneurial talent. So it means that even if you do fail and it doesn't work out with your company, you can very easily transfer into a different career path, maybe a sort of innovation career path within a big corporate.
Alice, help us out with a more comprehensive definition of entrepreneurial talent. You'd have to have tried to start something on your own, or how would, say, a potential employer identify that particular talent?
So I think what we see with entrepreneurial talent is individuals who are willing to challenge the status quo, those who are willing to take a little bit of a risk and maybe challenge their seniors and challenge the way that things are done. And I think we see more and more companies say that actually that is the kind of talent that we do want. We want to see individuals who are helping us move into the digital economy and really embrace technology.
Mm. If we could go back a bit, you were talking about how some of the results were different from region to region. Why do you think that is, though? Is it because maybe they don't feel in certain other regions that the support is there for entrepreneurship?
So I think we do see variation across the different regions. And I think we, having worked in all of those ecosystems, we do see that different governments in different countries take a very varied approach to supporting entrepreneurship. I think what we see in Singapore is the government very early on took the approach to support entrepreneurship, to support entrepreneurs, and to support the development of the venture capital ecosystem as well. Whether it was the government helping Entrepreneur First to set up in Singapore, or amazing initiatives such as SG Innovate, which is really bringing deep tech companies to Singapore for the first time. Mm-hmm. I think the kind of government here really has done a huge amount to help smooth that path.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking to Alice Benting, co-founder of Entrepreneur First.
And how heartening, Alice, is it to see many want to create impact and legacies and not just accumulate wealth?
Here in Singapore, the survey found,
So what we see in surveys is that many of the individuals are actually interested in entrepreneurship because of the social impact that it can have. And so it's not just about, I think only 10% of respondents said that they wanted to be an entrepreneur to become a millionaire or billionaire, but then actually 40% said that they saw founding a startup as a way to have a social impact and that you could have even more of an impact as an entrepreneur on the environment, on your social surroundings, than you would within a large company.
Allow me to sadly sound like, obviously, I'm coming from the older generation and ever even more pragmatic. Do they tell you how they might want to feed themselves? It's great to hug the trees and live in the sunshine and run with unicorns and everything, but there are still pragmatic concerns in life. Like feeding yourself.
Well, I think the key thing here is about building a company. You know, this isn't necessarily about building social enterprises. This is about building companies with business models, and our aim at Entrepreneur First is to find the most ambitious individuals who are looking to build globally important companies. You know, what would it take for the next Google, the next Facebook, or the next Grab to come to Singapore? So we're doing a bunch of work to make sure that we're not just building, creating tree huggers, but really
and living off the sunshine.
well, Alice, how does Gen Z's attitudes compare to Gen Y's?
So one of the key differences between Gen Z and Gen Y was that Gen Y feel that they are more ambitious than the previous generation. But this was consistent across all markets, and I think maybe this goes to some of the hubris that you were mentioning.
But it sounds much the same from generation to generation. Y thought they were better than Gen X. Gen X thought they were better than baby boomers. This is just sort of quite consistent, isn't it? How far, though, will these attitudes go to creating a world-class startup ecosystem here in Singapore?
I mean,
it's great when they have the attitude, I am the bomb.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is one of the most important first steps. You have to believe that this is possible. And I think we now have collections of amazing entrepreneurial role models in Singapore that have really kind of paved the way for the next generation coming through. I mean, that alongside programs such as Entrepreneur First and the very fast-growing venture capital ecosystem means that it's now not just possible to aspire to be an entrepreneur in Singapore, but there's the structure, there's the process, and there's the funding in place to become an entrepreneur in Singapore.
Mm-hmm. And tell us, what does a world-class startup ecosystem look like?
We work across many different ecosystems, and I suppose the real standout elements are, first of all, is talent. And this is what Singapore has in bucket. Singapore is amazing at aggregating amazing talent from around the region, has an incredible education system, building the next generation of very talented Singaporeans. And that was really why we chose to start our first outpost after London in Singapore, really to access that talent. So our big belief is that the best entrepreneurial ecosystems are based on talent, and the rest will build up around that. Now, obviously, you do need the capital ecosystem and the venture funding ecosystem as well, but that is building really, really fast in Singapore.
Mm. So how far off are we to being, you know, a world-class startup ecosystem? Are we there yet?
I think we're on the road. It takes a while. And when you think about somewhere like Silicon Valley has had a venture capital ecosystem for, you know, 50, 60 years. So they've really had the time to build that quantity of funding and that knowledge and specialism. So it still is early days in Singapore. But I think when you look at how much it's progressed, even in the 5 years since that we've been in Singapore, it's a fantastic trajectory and one we're very proud to be part of.
Mm-hmm. Well, Alice, you're an international talent investor. Who were some of your standouts from your cohorts this year, and why?
So one of our standout companies was a company called Magic Pony Technology. Excuse the silly name.
It ties in with the whole unicorn thing. It's great.
All about horses for some reason.
Yeah.
Magic Pony was a company that used artificial intelligence to improve the way that videos appear online. And that company was acquired by Twitter for $150 million, just
nice.
18 months after it started. So our big preference is to invest in companies that are working on the next generation of technology. So lots of artificial intelligence companies, lots of companies working on biotech. And really those technologists are the people that we're trying to seek out.
Alice, very quickly, so far you've helped, I think, 1,200 individuals, 200 companies. The companies are worth, $1.5 billion now. Mm. Where else could you possibly go? You and Matthew, who are the co-founders of Entrepreneur First.
Well, one of our beliefs is that the world is still missing out on some of its best talent, largely because of where they're based in the world. And our mission is to make sure that we find those individuals and unlock their entrepreneurial potential.
And also very quickly, the criteria to joining. The website is joinef.com. How can they get in on the action? Someone with just a good idea? What might the criteria be?
You don't even need an idea to apply to EF.
You don't need an idea?
You don't need an idea. When we first said that, people thought it was crazy, but we have proved that it works. We see ourselves as talent investors, which means we are just investing in you as a person.
Mm.
So we like individuals who are super smart, who are very skilled, and often have a technical background. We like individuals who are willing to stop everything else in their life and focus on becoming a founder. And then lastly, we like individuals who are a little bit odd, a little bit contrarian. And really those four things make up some of our best founders.
Bernard and I will see you tomorrow. JoinEF.com is where you can find them, JoinEF.com. We've been speaking with Alice Benting, who is co-founder of Entrepreneur First. Alice, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.